You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, coming up in here on a Monday. It's pretty smooth for me. Hope the going is as smooth for you. I'll tell you what went off pretty smoothly, and I'd be interested to hear from anybody who it didn't go off smoothly for. What a weekend it was. Nike's largest youth basketball event ever put on, happened in Memphis over the weekend. Cal was there. Penny was there holding court. But so was Nate Oates. So was everybody in college basketball. Matt Painter in the house. He's right in front of Chris walking in. It was, as I said on Twitter, a who's who of basketball at the MSEC, Memphis Sports and Event Center, over the weekend. And it went off very smoothly. Again, a good start to the week here because I got my partner, my brother, John Martin. I got Brad Carson, executive producer. Extraordinary on the ones and twos, PD number one. That stands for program director number one in the country.
Number one in the 901.
That's right. Now, let me focus back on my partner. Because back in the day, I'm going to put the spotlight on him. John and I, we would travel together to the Peach Jam.
That's right.
North Augusta, South Carolina. We would hit the highway, John and I.
In the Black Fusion.
Playing that big crit.
That's right.
Didn't it?
Yep.
Remember when I lost my recorder, which had many a precious interview in your car?
I don't remember that.
I did.
And you never got it back?
No, you found it later. Amazingly.
Wow.
Amazingly. We used to hold that Peach Jam up, and more importantly, my partner did.
Yep.
In a way, boy, it was a twinkle in his eye because that's where all the best would be. And we've told some of those stories over the years of who we interviewed and who Josh Pastner was after. And fast forward to this weekend. And no, it wasn't the Peach Jam. That's the championship. That's session four. That's the final stop. It was session two. But it was a live period. And my blood, John, it was tingling. Because as I walked through there, and John Shire saying hello, Penny's holding court at the front of the place like Larry Finch. Like he's the mayor.
Yep.
Penny doing it his own way. Turns out he was working in there, too. But you go on through, you see every coach in college basketball, you see all the top 17, 1,600 players, including number one player in the country. I got that old feeling back. You know what I missed? I miss my partner.
Yeah.
Did you get out on Sunday?
I didn't get out there.
You didn't get out of the cove.
I didn't get out there. No, I did not.
You would have felt it.
I will say I didn't start to feel the FOMO until I started to see the pictures come in on Saturday of all the coaches, you know. Literally all the coaches.
We tried to tell you,
yes,
and our listeners, yes, last Monday when we had J.J. Greer from Memphis Tourism on how big this was going to be. And it was.
Yeah. Professionally, should I have probably been out there? Yeah. But whatever. Life goes on. It's kind of how I feel about it. But I will say, from the pictures that I saw and from the reports I got from you, it looked like an amazing weekend.
Amazing.
I mean, seriously, the every coach in, I mean, Kelvin Sampson, John Shire, John Calipari,
and all of their assistants, as I told you.
Yeah.
Over 400
full staffs,
college coaches.
Now, did you see Mark Pope?
Told us. I'm not sure I saw him with my eyeballs.
Okay.
But if he was doing his job, because every other coach in the country was there, then he made a stop through.
Right.
So did Josh, very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
He kind of told us he was going to do it. He kind of sounded like he had a bunch of events to hit.
I actually did text him on Saturday.
UNLV was in the building?
Yeah, and he said he was already on the way to Omaha.
See, he was shuffling. He was moving.
Right, because it wasn't the only event, right? It was just one of many.
100%. There was events at P7, events at Bartlett High, but then events all over the country.
Right.
But you had, because this was Nike's largest event ever.
That's right.
EYBL.
That's where all the big guys are.
You made a stop through. Anybody who's anybody made a stop through this weekend.
There's no doubt. And so I'm looking forward to getting that report from you on everything that you saw and maybe some players that stood out or some teams that stood out and some coaches. Because I know we met some coaches this weekend. I know that for a fact. Downtown, or not at downtown, but at Liberty Park this weekend at Memphis Sports and Event Center. So we will talk about that. The race war is back on, so that is an annual tradition unlike any other. We have reignited the race war, so we will get back into that a little bit later as Caitlin Clark committed a hard foul on Angel Reese.
Thus,
again, restarting the great race war.
Ruled flagrant. Jason and John will have to weigh in.
We do have to weigh in, even though Angel told us to move on.
She said it was a basketball play.
Basketball play, ref ruled it correctly, move on. So but we will not do that, will we? We will not move on.
We must stoke the fire.
Even though Angel's...
Or put them out.
Has Angel won a game in the dub? She's won one. She's won one against Caitlin.
Bro, we're like 5-5 career. Believe me, I've kept up with it.
Yeah.
Expecting maybe some, some Caitlin's the best. She did put down a triple-double.
She was great.
I don't know if you noticed. Yeah, I mean, she's going to win MVP.
Yeah, she. I think she will.
I don't. You need to look at the numbers. Is she a good value? Because you might have missed the boat already.
I think she was second before the season even started.
Really?
Yeah, she was.
It's already gone.
I think you're probably right.
Triple double first game. I've got some Angel stats for you though, in case you decide to choose sides today with me. So be careful.
Well, okay.
Step across that line. I'm going to tell you about Angel the player.
This is not Team Angel on this side of the table.
Just step across the line.
She is 1-4 against Caitlin.
We're 5-5. I saw it
in the WNBA.
Okay. Well, we owned her. See, that's why we include what we did to her in college.
Right. Remember? Right. Right.
That's what started this.
Yes.
Even
it is.
Stephen A. said it.
Yes, it is.
Y'all didn't like, right? When she was doing this in your face.
They must have used to be in the same league, right? When she was at Maryland and Caitlin.
I don't know if it was that. I thought it was LSU. It was her in the Final Four before the last year.
Yeah.
Before Caitlin's last year.
I know they played twice,
that's
right?
That's where it heated up.
Yeah. So there had to be. There were two more meetings in there. I don't know if those would have happened, you know, where they were at LSU or whatever. But yeah, we'll get into that. We'll choose a side.
Magic Bird.
Get off the fence!
Why does there have to be a side?
I just think there does. I mean,
are they good for the league?
I mean, let's not go so far and say this is Magic Bird. I mean, Magic won a lot of those games.
Why can't this be Magic Bird in terms of the attention it brings to the league?
Angels,
it does.
Angels' team stinks. That's the problem. I mean, honestly,
you're looking for like everything to be exactly the same. It's the point of what the attention brings
when they get
to
together,
the league that they are
good.
In.
It is
and
good.
What Magic Bird and that did for the NBA.
Right.
This is doing for the WNBA.
Hey, listen, that is true.
100%. And that's the main similarity. When we make that comparison, that's what we're pointing to. Not necessarily both teams are great, or that Angel is the equivalent of Caitlin in terms of an MVP contender.
Yeah.
She is again putting up historic numbers though as a rebounder and scorer.
Yeah, I actually watched the first half of that game on Sunday.
That I didn't do, but one of these days I'll probably be sucked in.
Yeah.
I missed the moment though.
I missed the foul.
It's what it brings out of people. That's the story.
No,
I mean, again, it's and people will get caught up in that.
Yeah, it's the race.
I mean,
war.
Again, she was called names that the league is investigating. That's the other part of this story after the incident.
Yeah,
Angel by fans.
Yes, that is what.
Got to condemn that. Got to come down on that.
Right. Exactly. The Indiana Fever have done their job. They've reported, and we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing what the WNBA uncovers.
Yeah, you're going to kick out whoever did it.
I ban them for life. Absolutely. But let's just find out. Let's just see what we find here.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of details at this moment.
The league is investigating. That's what we said.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Jeff Calk is going to join us at 1:25. Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. So that is the show today, Monday, May 19th. Conference finals are set in both the NBA Western and Eastern Conference. Got Timberwolves versus the Thunder. Thunder take care of business in a major way. They were down, what, double digits in the first quarter? People were like, oh, man, OKC looks tight. Man, they look like they ain't ready for the moment. And then it was all Thunder all the way, the rest of it. Jokic just got no help. I don't know why. I mean, Aaron Gordon's out there on one leg doing everything he can do. Credit to him for even attempting that. But they just, between him, Michael Porter Jr., like they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough in that one.
Credit to what OKC did, too, with the defensive wrinkle, putting Caruso on Jokic. Had one of his worst playoff games ever.
Yep.
With just 20 points and didn't even take 10 field goal attempts.
Now, that was noticeable.
Very.
That was noticeable.
Because that helped force the turnovers. Jokic was clearly frustrated all game.
Yep.
And a guy that had to be great with Porter Jr. dealing with the shoulder.
Yep.
And then Aaron Gordon playing that game miraculously after everybody had ruled him out for a month. Because it's a grade 2 hamstring.
Grade 2.
He decides, I'm going to play, but he can't move. It was a credit to him. He had like 5 rebounds early. But you saw him. If the ball got away, he couldn't run after it. And so with him hobbled, I mean, Jokic had to be great. And, man, what they did with Caruso after what he did to Jaren Jackson Jr., that was impressive.
Yes. Yes, it was. And, I mean, again, yeah.
6 inches and over 100 pounds that man was giving up.
We saw the preview in the Grizz series.
He had Jokic as frustrated as I've ever seen him. Usually that guy's unflappable.
100%. I tweeted, like, I feel less bad about Jaren after he did the MVP.
We all should. Now, that was one game, and Caruso was
over
significant portions of games over that series. It felt like maybe a couple of those games.
But still, Jokic's a what, 3-time MVP?
Man, come on, bro.
He couldn't do nothing.
We would call him the best player in the world.
Yeah. And
6 inches, 100 pounds. Man, Caruso is worth the money.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Now it's going to be everybody wants an Alex Caruso. We got to have a guy like Alex Caruso.
Yep.
You know, that can do something like that. Dude's 6'5", man.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know that there's another Alex Caruso.
What he does, the way he came up through the G League, everybody doubting, you know, that's all part of why he plays the way he plays. You know, maybe Pat Bev was like that at one point, but Pat Bev wasn't 6'5" either. You couldn't put Pat Bev behind Jokic and disturb his game. This dude.
Yeah.
Phenomenal defensive player. Got to give him all the credit. Already,
he's also a 35% shooter from three. I mean, very respectable.
What was it you said? It was 80 for three or something like that. Worth every penny. And really, they're getting the best value ever out of that man.
No doubt.
Already. Especially if it leads to a championship. Helps lead to a championship.
Put
Jokic to bed in game 7.
It was straight up move. It was giddy for Caruso.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why they're in the conference finals right now.
It's a 43-point turnaround after Denver had that early 11-point lead, 21-10. 43-point washing.
They turned the water off on them, man. There's no doubt about that. and that's why they're minus 170 in the futures market, right,
to
win the championship.
And later in Indiana value there.
Yeah.
Indiana has the longest odds.
Yes,
I'm sure, right?
They do.
Yes. I'm interested to see if you still like them.
Yeah.
We are at a different stage now.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Knicks, Pacers. Knicks get it done on Friday night against Boston. Yep. Something very strange is going on with Porzingis' health. I hope he gets that figured out because it doesn't sound good.
No, hopefully it's not contagious.
Yeah.
Whatever he's got.
Like a Space Jam deal or worse.
Praying for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to get some tests done and figure out exactly what's going on. But yeah, that was another blowout. Celtics had the 4 Tatum game in game 5, and that was the end of it. So there you have it. Knicks, Pacers, and then Thunder, Wolves are your conference finals. I guess we'll sort of just we could do EYBL's second segment if you want, since we're already kind of here on NBA.
Sure.
I'd love to believe that the Timberwolves can pull this upset. They're like plus 270. In this series, but I can't get out of my mind. I can't get past this image of them fumbling, bumbling, stumbling the ball all over the court, just like you saw with the Nuggets yesterday. What's going to be different? Are they going to be able to not turn the ball over? If you told me that they could not turn the ball over, I'd say they absolutely can win the series, and I'd even bet them. But
right.
Do you have any faith that they'll be able to keep control of the ball?
I mean, as well as Julius Randle played, I think he had five turnovers in that final game, in that closeout game. It was a part of them all series long, and so the way that plays in OKC's hands, it absolutely should scare you.
Yep.
If you are Minnesota, the key's going to be trying to do what, you know, for portions of the series, but not consistently enough, Denver was able to do, which is slow them down.
Yep.
Last night you saw it. Once the 43-point turnaround came, it was turning Denver over and turning it into points. I think 30-something, 37 points off turnover, something, the numbers out there. That's their game. And so Minnesota, as good as they can be as a team, you know, a scoring team, it's going to be slow it down on them. Long sets, I mean, using up time on that shot clock. And so it's a game where, you know, we'll see. Mike Conley will have a lot to do with that.
Yes,
there's no question about that.
Yes, he will.
But Denver failed. Now, again, they were shorthanded. But I go back to, I always circle back, John, to where you're at. They are so physical. They get away with so much. We talked to Drew Hill about it last week. He said they're almost, it's almost an exaggeration. They're fouling all the time, so the refs can't call it all. And you saw it. You saw the way Caruso was bothering Jokic. Jokic wanted to foul
yep.
the whole time. That's why he's frustrated.
Yep.
They weren't calling it. And you do that to Minnesota consistently. With the way they turn the ball over, bro, they're already on the other end already. You see Jalen Williams bounce back for that final game, too.
Yes, he did.
But we said he would do that at home, right?
Exactly.
He needs that. I'm with you. He needs to show be an all-star in this series.
Be a dog,
Let's
man.
See it in this series. You had a couple of good games in that one. They bailed you out in that series. Let's see you be the all-star in the playoffs that you were regular season, all that. I'm with you here in this next series. But, that, bro, Minnesota starts giving that ball up because they play so physical, you know, because OKC is so physical. No, it's already game over. It won't go seven games like this series did.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Credit to Denver, as shorthanded as they were, that they
Absolutely.
Got seven games out of this.
No, it really is.
I think three of the losses were by 30-plus, ended up being, but it was clearly a competitive series that yep. went seven games, and you had them 21-10 at one point.
I mean, I think that would be the case for Minnesota. It's like, I mean, that Denver team just took OKC seven.
Well, it is, and that's right. That's what you're telling yourself. We got way more bodies than that. We yep. got way more energy than they were able to bring.
Yep.
I mean, let's be real. Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon were walking zombies out there at the end of this series.
Totally.
So they had zero bodies.
Totally.
To throw at stuff. You got Christian Brown. You're depending on every shot from him.
Yeah.
So they had nothing left in the tank, and Minnesota does. Now, you know what's going to happen. That starts tomorrow. Like,
yes.
OKC's going to come in. They've been playing, and Minnesota probably with the layoff is going to look like the – you know, the team that's – are they going to bring the energy the rest of the series? I could see that happening
because
they've had a little layoff here, and they're about to see something in terms of numbers and force that OKC applies defensively that's unlike the last series they just saw.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. Again, I'd love to see Ant just put a cape on and do it.
He's going to have to.
He might.
He's capable. Like it would be historic.
Yeah.
Because I think that's kind of the kind of individual effort you're going to need from him.
No, it's not negotiable.
To beat this team.
Yeah.
Because it won't just be Caruso on him, a guy like him, the whole time. They're going to throw all these different bodies at you. Dort, too, is going to wear him down.
Yep.
You know, it's not like he hadn't come down in this, you know, in these playoffs already with ankles and everything else. He's beat up already. And that's what OKC does.
And the other
they
problem
beat you up.
Is that Julius Randle has been spectacular in these first two series, right?
He was really good this last series, yes.
But now he actually has somebody on the court that can defend him. Like, he didn't have anybody that could defend him out there against the Warriors. Certainly didn't have that against the Lakers. So now you're going to be able to throw Caruso at him. You could throw Holmgren at him. You could throw Hartenstein at him. Like, you could throw a bunch of different bodies at him.
A lot of bodies.
That he hasn't had, you know, in the first two series. So I think Gobert is going to be rendered unplayable, is my guess. This is the series where you're going to have to go with, like, Naz Reid and just keep, you know, try to bring Hartenstein out of the paint, you know, and operate from there. But yeah, I just, as much as I'd like to see it, I think Oklahoma City at -170 to win the title is still short. I do. I think there's a lot of people that still don't really believe them for whatever reason. Maybe it's because, like, they're kind of boring. And
again, I mean, they had to go seven games with a
right.
team that basically had five dudes by the end of it, if that. You know?
No, there are concerns.
I mean, I could say, if you're making the case, they're kind of shaky, and they've never done this part before.
No, they haven't. That
I mean,
true.
There is that part on that
I
side.
I thought yesterday was a big grow-up moment for them, though.
100%.
Like, to respond to that deficit in the first quarter and
yes,
blow them out the way they did. Like, I don't think the Knicks are beating them I don't think the Pacers are interesting because they have all the, like, they can match the depth. That's kind of like, if the Pacers beat the Knicks, I think that's actually a worse matchup for OKC than New York, because New York reminds me a little bit of Denver, right? Like, they have three really good players and they go seven deep, maybe, you know. Then they bring in Miles McBride,
a little deeper than Denver, but certainly less than Indiana.
Yeah, I think if OKC could pick, I think they'd rather have New York than Indiana. That would be my guess. Yeah,
New York's playing their main guys, you know, 40 minutes.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I just think 1-7. I've been debating on betting it the whole like last 48 hours. Do I want to lay -170 right now at this point in the playoffs? I haven't done it yet, but it's just kind of hard to ignore OKC's defensive effort and, again, what they get away with. They get the best whistle of anybody left in the playoffs, bro. Yeah. Like, they get to the foul line and they don't get called for fouls. That's not going to change, you know? So, I mean, is Minnesota their, do you think their best, like, you know, their toughest competition left, or do you think the Eastern Conference team will push them further?
I don't know. The way Brunson and the Knicks are playing, you get an MSG, man. They got some magic kind of happening.
Yeah.
I would sort of say salute to Rick Carlisle and the Pacers.
Absolutely.
You guys, in terms of me, oh, man, I was your biggest hater coming in. Looked at you soft, even though I'm kind of going, hey, Halliburton most overrated, right, with the players. And what they've proven in terms of these playoffs, and Brad said it first, championship DNA.
Championship pedigree.
That's what he said. Championship pedigree. And that is Rick Carlisle.
It is him.
It truly is. It is. And he's got those dudes like Neesmith and everything else, man, making all the plays, playing above their, you know, above their skis, or however, whatever that old phrase is you white
that's
folks
it.
Say.
That's it, yeah.
That's what I thought.
One of
that's
many we do use.
That's what I thought. I'm just really impressed. I say that to say, respect Berger to the Pacers. It needs to die here. I don't want to see them in the finals.
No, nobody needs to see it.
John might can make the argument you'd be the tougher matchup for OKC. He's probably right. I need Knicks now. You saw what this did to New York.
Yes, no doubt.
Did you see the celebrities that came out for Game 6? It was crazy. They said 7 straight. Everything was just up. It was crazy what it did.
Yes.
In terms of to that city. Having them go this deep, let's just, for anybody hating on the Knicks, let's just stop. It's the best thing out of the East at this point with the energy, whether it's Minnesota or OKC. We feel like it'll be OKC. I'd love to see Randle against Karl Anthony Towns.
Absolutely.
Oh man, I'd love to see that Minnesota Knicks matchup. So I'd be just as open to having that, and then what Ant Edwards would do in a finals as I am to OKC, which I think clearly has even needing to take Denver to 7. I think they've shown, man, they're just they're the best top to bottom. They've backed it up, like you said. I think last night. Yesterday was a step up to okay, yeah. We got the best odds to win here for a reason.
Yeah.
Or shortest, whatever.
Because that's the one thing that they hadn't done, right? They didn't look, they weren't compelling.
They put their foot down.
And the game 4 against the Grizzlies, barely beat the Grizzlies. They didn't close out Denver in game 6. And they're like, okay, so this is another high leverage moment. Will they perform? And they look like, here we go again. They're tied as a drum in the first 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what but.
There was that moment, too, I guess it was game 4, where they could have gone down 3-1. Nuggets had taken an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they turned that one around.
Yes, they did.
Because that was the moment where it felt like, okay, champs have kind of got him. We said, fear. OKC's never done this. And when they turned that around in the fourth, that really was – that was obviously key to the series. I mean,
absolutely.
You can't go down 3-1 to a defending, you know, a former champ, but
– yep.
No, man, when they did that and then finished them off the way they did, 3 of the wins, I think, again, you can check me, were 30-plus.
Oh, no, they were.
When they were dominant, they were dominant. I think there's a good chance they're going to be more dominant against Minnesota.
Well, didn't they have the record for, like, most wins by 20 or more?
Yeah.
I think they had, for
a lot of that, it looked like some of the Grizzlies series.
Yeah.
But they were really shorthanded. And, yeah, that goes back to how good an effort that was from Denver.
Yeah. So
shorthanded.
So the OKC, this is pretty nuts, bro. OKC has won 54 games by double digits this year.
Huh?
It's the most double digit wins in NBA history. 54 was just their regular season record. So now you add, you know, the playoff wins. So they're pretty sick,
dude. SGA does it every time, and then Jalen can do it to you, and Chet can do it to you. from the scoring standpoint. Then all the rest of the junk they get off turnovers.
Oh, I mean, that's where they're – that's, you know, why
that,
I just
that everybody scored, that gets the Dorts and the Carusos and all them going.
Exactly.
So it's just they got the bodies.
Yeah, because, like, it just becomes like a party, right? Like, Casey Wallace starts throwing in threes. Aaron Wiggins starts throwing in
and
threes.
And he didn't even have – he was broke in this one, but he still, you know, like you said, he played 20-something minutes.
Yeah. I mean, like,
3 for 10.
These transition threes, like, I just see – it's like guys like that, you know? I mean, Jalen Williams start. I mean, so
– Wiggins comes in and gets 8.
It just unravels very fast against the Thunder if you start turning the ball over. Like, if you have 10 or fewer, you got a chance. You know, if you do anything – and, again, like, I want to say that Timberwolves had 10 or more in every game in that Warriors
series. We were talking about during the series. They can't do this versus OKC if that's who comes out, you know.
I mean, that's what Stan Van Gundy said. Stan Van Gundy was like, listen, they're going to get away with this because they have the margin of error against these Warriors without Steph. But they're not going to get away with this against the Thunder or the Nuggets. They had 20 turnovers in their closeout win. I mean – I don't really trust the Timberwolves. And I had them against the Warriors, obviously, but I just don't know if I can trust them against this juggernaut that is the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's set. It should be fun. We get first game tomorrow, and then we'll have Knicks and Pacers game one on Wednesday. Yeah.
37 points, like I said, off 23 turnovers. They're going to eat against Minnesota if they're coming there like they played last series.
Real quick, Aaron Gordon after the game. And I understand why he would have this perspective, but he said he wished that the NBA would pad two days in between, one for travel and then just the one for recovery. Obviously, and he pointed out Dame got hurt, MPJ is hurt, he's hurt, Tatum is hurt, you know. So I'm just curious. I mean, obviously they're not going to do that because they don't want the schedule to last until July, but I mean, I do think he's valid.
Well, go back to the drawing board on the CBA and take us back down to, you know, five-game, you know, first-round series.
Right. That's right.
Like we used to do back in the day.
We don't need
and we don't have to
seven against
we don't
one
have
versus
to push
eight.
In as many games as we do in this playoff, you know, part of the schedule.
Agreed.
Do that because we know they're not taking away regular season games. Look, they want to add to them with the play-in and adding a game or whatever it ends up doing to your schedule anyway. It's I guess technically it doesn't add. You're still playing 82, right? You're still playing 82 with the play-in.
I mean, so yeah.
It's not technically adding a game, or is the champion adding a game? Either way, where they're not going away from more regular season.
I know.
So you could shorten it up in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean something.
I mean, you have to have a 7-game conference semifinals.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
The one you could go back to me, first round, make it a fiver.
Right.
Make it a fiver.
Yeah, I mean that's that. I mean honestly,
they can help Aaron there
again. But
you know, players ain't gonna do it either.
They're gonna say, paid. "Oh, playoff revenue."
Players are getting paid off the playoffs.
But damn, bro, like, do y'all care about the game at all? Like,
I mean, just because Aaron's hobbled and, you know, was valiant in trying to play doesn't mean they're, you know. And we did lose Dame, and we lost some last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we, you know, yeah, you could apply it to every season. I'm sure. Certainly helped the Celtics in their run last year.
You know,
injuries
it did.
To other teams.
I mean, OKC's the beneficiary this year.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
nobody's making drastic change to the NBA schedule.
I wish they would. I wish somebody.
Well, how did Saturday feel where we didn't have the game? We didn't have an 8-game period.
It felt horrible.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I noticed it. I'm sure you all
well,
did too.
Well, that's true. You
and it was a WNBA day, and
right,
I don't know
right.
if they went in all in on
right,
that.
Right,
the day,
right,
you know,
right,
NBA
right.
said, "Yeah, well, we'll make sure we're off that day or what?" But didn't you miss it?
No, you're right.
When they weren't on,
you're right.
It's not just Faye Brad. We got only two games. It's what you miss in the off day.
You're right.
When the playoffs are going, you feel it.
People like just forget about the NBA when they don't have it.
You feel it.
Yeah,
and that you don't want to be gone.
You're right. I feel like that's the problem with the finals, right? Like we'll get the conference finals, we'll wrap up, and then we'll have like 2 weeks before, you know, whatever it is, 4 days. It's not 2 weeks.
I just feel like you could build in more rest for them earlier in the playoffs with a 5-gamer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them dispose of them, whatever else, but you use the same, you know, time. Your finals will still start the same, whatever else, but they're getting in that built-in rest early.
Yeah.
Could really help teams coming off the regular season.
Exactly. So the NBA Finals Game 1 is not until June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in theory, the Knicks and the Thunder, I'm just throwing, they could finish their series in 5 games.
Right.
And we could literally have a week and a half before we even get a finals game. You know, I mean, it's possible. Maybe not.
If you go to five or whatever, I mean, not that they're doing that, but if you did that in the first round, that date would have to come.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Earlier on the calendar, the June date.
Right.
But right. It's always. I mean, haven't we always been pretty deep into June? Seemed like Mike into June.
Yeah.
When I was wanting them finals in the '90s.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, which is great. I don't mind it as a sports radio guy.
I mean, we can't say these guys. Not today.
You're right.
And Aaron, we salute you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody reported you were out for a month, so. I told my kid, I don't know how he's out there.
It feels like, you know, so game 7 for the Timberwolves and Thunder would be June 1st. Game 7 for the East would be June 2nd. So, regardless, we're going to have at least 3 days between the end of the series and game 1 of the finals at the absolute least. So it could be more, right? I mean, it could be a sweep, and then we have 10 days. So, you know, you just never know. But yeah, I do think that's a real thing. It's like you lose momentum when there's such a, gap, you know, in layoff. But it is what it is. All right, we'll come back. Jason was down there at Memphis Sports and Event Center down at Liberty Park. I saw some amazing pictures that CJ got with some high-level coaches. We'll get into, how big the event was. Did it meet the expectations?
Yeah, I want to talk specifically about Penny Hardaway, who wasn't just holding court. You know how Herd, Team Thad program director and coach, we have him on weekly, had talked about kind of being a host for some of the college coaches? That's what Penny was put in the position to sort of do, you had every coach in America coming in to the MSEC. And there was Penny holding court for a couple of days right there in front. I'm not talking about 5 minutes and out. I'm talking about whether it was the city or the coaches coming in. I think it was very important. We'll talk about why on the other side.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with
classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Absolutely. Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. Our neighbors were moving this week, and I didn't envy them. It ain't easy. It's a lot of stress, man. Especially when you talk about kids. That's why Black Tie is such a good move. It's a good bet. They're going to make it as stress-free as possible. But you got to call them, get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving. Change and moving in the city of Memphis.
Speaking of Memphis, played host.
Memphis.
Yeah, it was nice. Mayor was out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Memphis.
Man, Paul Young in the building.
City's got a lot invested in the Memphis Sports and Events Center doing well. Because you're obviously, and Sam Hardiman over at Daily Memphis got a story about it now, about the hotel they're trying to build over there. We talked to J.J. Greer about how important developing Liberty Park around the MSEC is for the MSEC. You want to draw these huge events. This was Nike's literally largest ever youth basketball event. So,
yeah.
So bigger than the Peach Jams that John and I used to go to in North Augusta, South Carolina. In terms of live period, so you got all the NCAA college coaches here, but then the 200 and something teams you're bringing in, these are 17s, these are 16s, and then you've got also, you know, events at P7, Bartlett High, outside of this. And so the city's packed 8,000-plus hotel rooms. J.J. Greer from Memphis Tourism told us $4.5 to $5 million, maybe plus, expected in terms of city economic impact. And so, you know, this weekend was important. This is the third year EYBL has come back to Memphis. We know that Nike, which is the premier grassroots circuit, has a great relationship with Memphis already.
Yep.
Goes back to, like we talked about with J.J. Greer, Willie Gregory. I mean, he's like the godfather and has been with Nike a long time. And, Nike's been blessing Memphis for a long time. We know that. And so this relationship goes way back, but to have Nike, and I've used that phrase, and I think others have agreed it is sort of the phrase, to make you session two and put the live period here, to have all these coaches come in, doesn't just you've proven with the MSEC that with that 16-court facility, you can host their event. You did that the last 2 years. Now you got a chance to, okay, the college coaches are coming in. Hey, what can we do that's either as good, make them comfortable, whatever else, or better than what they're going to see at the Peach Jam at the final stop of the YBL session. And Nike is saying, here, Memphis, you can have it because we love the MSEC so much. And so here you had it this weekend. On the same weekend, you got a barbecue contest at Liberty Park.
Yep.
The place was slammed all weekend long, whether it was just spectators, Memphians coming in, all these coaches that we've talked about, we had told you all week long, were going to be coming in, and then the teams themselves. And so it was great for the city. You had the mayor out there. But I, like we said, and I wanted to talk about this specifically, and it's among the things you saw if you made your way in. Anytime, I think Friday and Saturday, Penny Hardaway, we had talked to Coach Norton Hurd IV, whose team Thad, program is featured and has been for a long time on EYBL. He goes 3-1, by the way. Team Thad goes 3-1. Only loss was to the family. I happen to be watching that one. So I'm going to have to, when we have Hurd on at Wednesday, again, 3-1 on the EYBL after a 2-1 in Phoenix. So what are they? They're 5-2. They're sitting right there for where they want to be in the standings. But we're going to have a little accountability time because I watched the team final game. He had me come back at 6:30. Don't want to get too far off course here from where I'm going, but Team Thad had a great weekend, 3-1, and they're among the top folks in the standings on their side of the bracket, EYBL. Back to Penny. Because like Coach Norton Hurd IV, he was hosting in a way. Coaches got all the AAU coaches coming to him in Memphis. Hey, where are we going? Hey, what's going on here? Who are we playing? Where am I supposed to be and everything? I mean, they've gotten kind of used to it, I will say, now that this is their third year EYBL's been here. And most of these teams are back. CP3, all the team takeover, MOCAN, Bradley Beal's got his team that Hurd had talked about, one of the favorites this year. They're all there, so Hurd's kind of hosting them in addition to having to doing his own duties, not to mention all the college coaches. He is, after all, one of the 100 most influential people in men's college basketball, according to Silver Wave Media. So he's got the college coaches and asking them all the same thing. Penny, we hadn't really talked about what his role in there would be. Right? Would he just be in there? We said beforehand he's going to show up because everybody's there.
Yep.
And yeah, while Memphis might not recruit these guys like they used to, right? Because now you're in a different age. And he's flipping rosters. He's going after transfers. You're not getting the Jalen Durans, right, Imani Bates like you were. But we said Penny's still going to be in there. And it was the way he was in there, man. That was the story. He Penny Hardaway for two straight days. And credit to everybody over at the MSEC, man. That thing went so smoothly for all those college coaches. And I'm sure Penny's got his own story to tell. But Penny was at the front. When I say holding court, Penny, for 2 days, Friday and Saturday, was right at the front of the MSEC, almost like one of the, you know, great folks they got. I mean, like, met a bunch of great folks that worked for the MSEC and were, you know, whether it was trying to figure out where you're going, work, what court is where, they were all great. And I could shout them out. I'll do that at 1 o'clock. But Penny was much the same way, almost like he was working for MSEC. You could walk up to him. And that was the city, the college coaches that were coming in, or whoever you were. Heck, even those teams were passing by, and he was holding court there, as approachable as you've ever seen him. We've always said Penny's. You know, Jeff talks about this all the time. He's written columns about Penny signs every autograph, says hello, shakes every hand. He did that with the moment they hired him. But this was different, almost in a way. Welcome to our city, not just you guys, but you coaches and everything else. And he was up there almost as a host in a way that was that stood out, man. And it was fun to see. Someone that remarked to me, and they'd watched Penny closely, and said that it reminded them so much of Larry, right? The way Larry would hold court. We've talked about Penny is the same way.
Yeah.
I think in the connection we drew, that sort of the conclusion we came to, was if you are a Memphian in that seat, right, in Absolutely. An event like this, where you have all of college basketball in the house. You're not on campus, but this thing's as much a gym as the Lori Walton you got over there. You sort of become a host and a welcome to our city in a way that maybe is different, even if you're Josh Pastner, Cal, maybe. They were both there. But it's different, right? And maybe it's because they're a Memphian, but he was holding court in a way that looked a lot like Larry. But you could go up and touch him, whether it was those college coaches or, hey, man, right after that college coaching and moved on for Penny, hey, good to go up to his spot. Those Memphians would come, take that picture like he always does. And so it was interesting to watch him, and then so really interesting to learn afterwards. And I did officially from Travis King, who we know we've had in, agent of Penny's, works closely with Penny, and does on his Nike deals. I remember the candle deals. It was Travis brought his candle, Penny candle, still hold that candle dear. Look on Travis King's Facebook page. For those of you all unfamiliar with him, his connection to Penny. Penny was also working in the MSEC in addition to being a gracious host. And if you notice, Penny did his podcast with two goats, as Travis King said. He did a podcast, I'm pretty sure right there from the MSEC, upstairs where we couldn't get it. It was just reserved for college coaches upstairs. Looked like he had a room up there to do the 2 Cents podcast, and it was who he had on. Kelvin Sampson and John Calipari on the podcast.
Hey!
How about that? So I'm assuming that these will be coming out.
Good gets.
Bro, look at Kelvin Sampson in that picture with his arm across that couch and how comfortable he is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kelvin yeah. Sampson's not coming on with Penny if there's not a respect level there. And you and I, John, have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how it felt like Penny had won over Kelvin Sampson in terms of a respect level after those first few games. Didn't take necessarily beating him to get there. But I think, you know, coaches like Kelvin, or, you know, maybe not Kelvin so much, but others. And I think Kelvin had sort of said, you got to coach basketball sort of when Penny's coming in was sort of the attitude.
Yeah.
I think very early on, whether it was the way his teams played defensively, the effort, whatever else. I think Penny had a believer in Kelvin Sampson after maybe initially not. And I use him almost symbolically because that's what it felt like college basketball thought of Penny Hardaway coming in. Look at this 7 years later and look at Kelvin sitting down to have that conversation with Penny. You can't hear what's going on. I can't wait till the podcast comes out. But you see everything that we've thought about Kelvin Sampson, how he must feel about Penny, it looks like it's coming out through even the pictures that Travis King's got on his Facebook page. I can't wait to see. He wouldn't have been sitting there if there wasn't a great level of respect for what Penny has done already and sort of his position as the University of Memphis coach. Now, again, Penny's hosting there. Kelvin Sampson comes in, hey, coach, can I have you on the podcast? Kelvin's probably going to do it. I mean, he's a gracious man. Anyway, that's, again, why I can't wait to see the tone, because I bet you there's a bunch of, after Penny brings him on and tells him what a goat he is, and Kelvin Sampson is a goat, I can't wait to hear Kelvin Sampson talk to Penny and how complimentary that might be. Other part about it. The second guy he had in there, very important. We'd talked about them in the news. John Calipari in town. He'd been in town for the Arkansas caravan. Whatever they call that caravan they did earlier in the week. And the news had come out that they're working on hopefully an exhibition for St. Jude with the two sides. And then Penny clearly had him on the podcast sometime this weekend. And you think about the conversations those two could have then, must have had. And then what can happen in the future, right? Now, we know that they've recruited against each other. When Cal's at Kentucky, everything else goes back to Wiseman, everything else. And I think Cal probably has a healthy, much like Kelvin Sampson, respect for Penny now after 7 years in the business. But it was coming on, one thing about it, Cal kind of held court too. He wasn't just moving through there before, even on the side of the podcast with Penny. Cal was kind of holding court too. And I think that's important, right? That he feels comfortable, right? Back in Memphis, hey, because there's still some. We were just talking about it last week. We were talking about, hey, is it time to put it down and let Cal come back? There are still some that don't want him. Penny, this event, Penny, the way he played host, but also asked Cal to be on the podcast, and then Cal being able to come in there, kind of like Penny, and feel a reverence from him, mm-hmm. not just from Penny, but from the city, too. The city was able to sort of pay a respect to him as well. Hey, man, because I guarantee you, there wasn't anybody walking up to Cal, and he was accessible, that was going, man, can't stand the way you left. It was all love. Yep. And that's where I feel like it is for most of us this far removed and haven't seen the struggles at times it's been for the program since he left. My point is that Cal was comfortable. That's a good thing for Memphis.
Yes.
It was a great thing for Memphis. I can't wait to see these two podcasts. Penny, back to the point, wasn't just there hosting and graciously, and you could go up to touch him, whether you're an NCAA college coach, hey, where's everything, and that wants to know what's going on, the lay of the land, or a Memphian, just like the day he was hired. That was impressive. Man was also up there working. And I guarantee you, man, if you're, it's not just having those guys respect, being able to pull them on the Two Cents podcast, all that stuff. It's what he can glean from them, right, about the business. And what it shows you, this is the way I bottom line it. This is what I was thinking about all weekend long. Man, I was just asking after this season, man, how much longer Penny going to do this? Because
mm-hmm.
it's so hard replacing the roster every year. And you were talking about, John, and you've sort of documented it, sort of how at one point maybe you feel like you're right at the top of the ladder in NIL, and now you're losing P.J. Haggerty's, right? Not necessarily because you couldn't pay him, because we know, I mean, they could have put the $3 million together. That's there for him. But we know that where these budgets are going, everybody else is going to have, if in very short time, more than you. So you ask the question, Penny, who's already, he doesn't have to climb a college coaching ladder to become rich and famous. He's already there. How much longer is he going to have the will, the want to? Mm-hmm. It was just the last summer, man. He was voicing his frustration about, critics and everything else. And I think this weekend showed more than ever how dug in he is. Right? And again, not just for the podcast, not just for his brand. Clearly Nike had gone out of their way for him, because it looks like, I don't know, John, you can see, it looked like they were serving food to them coaches up there too. Some good stuff.
I'm sure they
were VIP. So like Nike set that all up. I mean, again, Penny is signature shoe in Lifetime, but I thought too, man, boy, this is great for the program. In that, remember, any other coach for the most part that comes in here and takes this job, that's why we've always said you need Penny in his best level. You got to see what he can do with it. They're going to go to the next job. Cause
Who wants to struggle for life in the AAC?
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy who, at least in college, this is a lifetime gig. And if he's locked in like this, like it appeared he was this weekend, man, after I was just, you know, fools like me are questioning, man, what's the one-two? This man could go golf every day. You know, he's a millionaire. He could go sit on the Nike money and everything else.
Absolutely.
He's already done. It's stardom. He should be a Hall of Famer based on the player and career alone. If he's this locked in, boy, that is good for Memphis.
Yeah.
That is good for that program.
No, you're right.
And it's just a sign that, boy, he doesn't have any intentions of going nowhere. Plenty of gas left in that tank. Even after you lose a P.J. Haggerty? Like, that was part of it, right? If I can't keep a second-team AP All-American that I help be that, what's the point of this? Oh, no, dude. He's dug in. And I guess maybe I should have already come to that conclusion based on how quickly he put, you know, the replacements in there for P.J., the quality level of them. And, again, Penny has done it. We just said it. He's a master, just sort of, you know, navigating his way through sometimes difficult circumstances. Give him more, okay? Give him less. I'll get it done, whatever it is. Man, this dude was locked in. He was locked in all weekend long. Great event, clearly, but some interesting, you know, just I thought in just observing some of the the way he moved, just said a lot. Both clearly the man was hosting, the man was working. He could have just gone in there, made an appearance,
yep,
shook a couple hands, got on out. Hey, what's the point of going after these five stars now? They want all this money from you coming out. What did AJ Dibenza to get? $7-8 million from BYU?
Yeah.
I ain't got that.
Yeah.
So let me, you know, I mean, again, you could approach it that way. No, his was clearly different. This dude's it reminded me a lot of Larry. You know, just that you're going to probably have this man a decade plus. And yeah, hopefully he finds a way. Again, we it always goes back to,
mm-hmm,
okay, now, all right, well, what are you, 1-3 in the tournament? It's about expectations, right? You know, in the end, it's great that you're the coach. You're still going to be held to a standard that one time is frustrating you, right? Still got to get to that second weekend. But in terms of his want to, he looks like a guy that's going to go 10 plus.
Well, that's very good to hear. And, yeah, I mean, we're coming up on it, right? I mean,
not that any, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people in Memphis that already knew that. But, again, whether it was the event itself, his sort of position in it, who he had on, this relationship with Cal that's got to be a great one. Maybe you can get him to play you in a real game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In addition to what you're doing.
I'm sure that foundation was being laid.
It's already been laid earlier in the week with the St. Jude with the exhibition one. First thing, I mean, you got to get him back here to play you first. You know, and you'll do it in exhibition style, hopefully. Next to start next year. And, boy, we've talked about how great that'll be. You just be an Arkansas-Memphis extravaganza on both sides. You just blow that up, and it's great for St. Jude. That's what it ultimately benefits. But really interesting stuff. Great weekend. Shout out to everybody at the MSEC.
Yeah.
First class facility. We already knew that, but they pulled it off in a first class manner,
too. I love
to
hear it. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, not just Cal. Let's get Houston back on schedule. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I enjoyed those games a lot. And they were evenly matched, and Penny, you know, competed. You know,
that's Houston. About relationships. And we know it's why Barnes won't play you.
Right.
Because he doesn't like the relationship. And he hides behind things like we don't need them. To John's point, Cal doesn't need you either. He's playing in the SEC. Neither does Kelvin Sampson.
No.
But having good relationships with these guys. Hopefully that, yes, yeah, you hope it can benefit you in that way. But even if all that comes out of the, you know, with Memphis and Arkansas is this exhibition game, you know, having, you know, being able to glean from those goats.
Yep.
You know, having that relationship, that's good for the coach at Memphis who you want to succeed, because everybody else in this profession,
yep,
just about, will use this job as their stepping stone.
Yes.
Including, you know.
Which, listen, I mean,
including two of the guys who were in, you know, in there. And Josh would have done the same thing.
Yes.
Had it gone the other way.
He never got that big time offer.
He had his chance to go to UNL, yeah, you know, USC. He had his chance to go to USC.
I'm fine, by the way, like in some alternate universe where a guy comes in and for 3 years he takes Memphis to a Sweet 16 and leaves, you know, for 3 years in a row. I'm fine with that. Harder to keep it going in that way, though, you know, to keep finding the next. I mean, even for Memphis football, it kind of feels like that their looks kind of run out. You know, I mean, yeah, we'll see. This is a big year for Silverfield, but
huge.
It's hard to get hires right, you know,
mm-hmm,
four times a decade.
Yeah,
you know, it just is. So, yes, the best path for Memphis, there's no question, is for Penny to continue to be successful.
In the end, the path's got to include the second weekend. Like, that's what doesn't change.
Yes,
it doesn't change after the YBO event or anything else. like that, just like Ryan Silverfield has to win a conference title, has to be competitive and going for a college football playoff spot. Penny's got to get around. He's got to get around that corner.
Yeah,
you know, you got to get over the hump. He knows that.
Yep.
And that's what you wondered. Does he still want that pressure?
Yep.
You still want that pressure every year when you're already a self-made millionaire?
Right.
Oh man, he's locked in.
Yeah,
what it looks like to me.
Another big news item that you left off is that, you know, you came in Friday, you talked about, you know, your trials and tribulations, right? You got on the Sneakers app, you struck out, you didn't get anything going.
Nothing. 9 a.m. How can you not get it when you're in
the
line at 9 a.m.
The bots got you.
Yep, that's what it looked like.
But by the end of the day,
flawed system.
There was a happy ending to the story, at least for CJ. I don't know if the happy ending extends to you, because you had to purchase them. But can you just tell us how, in fact, CJ got his hands on the Kool-Aids?
So you could still, that night, on Friday night, and if I'd known, I'd gone in there sooner, walk right up to the pop-up Foot Locker they had built, and they still had them.
Wow. Did you know they were selling them? I didn't know they were selling them.
You can see the folks in the bags with the shirts next to Ja. The line was for people to buy them. Now, they had, when Ja came, they had a line of kids that already had them on. They did the promos for the videos, I'm sure. And Ja looked like he had his own videographer there. Devin Walker was there, looked like from the Grizzlies. And you can see those photos. But, yes, that became a pop-up store, Foot Locker store, that you could buy the shoes. And, old Smooth, man. Now, I was, bro, man, at MSEC, I think they adjusted. I will say this. I was burning up on Friday, and so were those Foot Locker workers. Now, them folks, Kyla over there, Glasper, who I can't wait to meet, she runs the MSEC. And man, what a job she did. She worked with J.J. Greer in terms of bringing this thing here. She's the general manager of the MSEC. But I know I couldn't have been the only one that was burning up in there on Friday. I mean, now, there's a lot of people. But the heat, and I just had a sweatsuit. Now, it's a little warm outside, but, bro, by the time I got to that counter, paper them shoes, they said that price, I was melting. I was melting, literally. You don't understand, like through the sweatsuit, sweating. They had adjusted that by the second day, I believe, because I didn't feel that temperature. Maybe it was just the heat. I felt the pressure I felt to get Chris the shoes, and then finally having to step up to the plate. And we had to get they sold me a 5.5.
Okay.
But it was in men's.
So
now Chris does a 5.5 in big kid.
Right.
When Chris put the shoes on, he couldn't get his feet in them.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.